الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وبعد. One of the challenges that we encounter as human beings is that we develop ideas and notions and beliefs that we believe to be most effective in accomplishing something. And we develop these ideas or these thoughts and these practices based off of our own experiences, our own anecdotes. One idea or example that has become prevalent is the idea that might is right and that people have to be tough in order to accomplish something. You know, I was once at a gathering where a lot of young business students were learning from a mentor. There was a mentor who was very successful in business, made a lot of money, had a lot of success in his industry, and he was telling the students that in order to get anything done, you have to be mean to people, you have to be tough with people. And I couldn't help but think to myself when I heard him say that, he was a Muslim, by the way, I couldn't help but think to myself that, subhanAllah, is this the method that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used in order to accomplish things? Was his asl, was his default to be tough with people so that he could accomplish what he wanted to accomplish? The answer is no. And this is actually one of the biggest mercies that we have in our religion. You know, they say, and we teach our young people, especially from Sunday school, that Islam is the biggest blessing that we have. And one of the reasons why Islam is the biggest blessing that we, any of us could have, alhamdulillah, is because it teaches us how to view things, how to interpret things. You know, when you have a computer, it makes your life a lot easier because you can plug in data and it produces an answer for you quickly. Islam is the same way. We have all kinds of thoughts and ideas. We need to go ahead and process them through our religion, through our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the example of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that example, we'll find what truly is the best way to live. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying to us in the ayah that I just recited, when Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that verily there already is in the Messenger of Allah. Understand this. This verse has a lot of grammatical nuance that's very beautiful. Number one is Allah uses the word kana, which means that it's already happened, it's already done. But let me ask you a question. When this verse is being revealed, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam still alive? Yes. So Allah is saying that no matter what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does in his life, he's been divinely guided to act in a way where every single thing that he does is a beautiful example for you. And the word fi, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in the Messenger of Allah. Not عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, حَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, not with him or around him, but in the Messenger of Allah. In Arabic, this is known as majaz, figurative language. It means that every single thing about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as uswatun hasana, a beautiful pattern, the best example that a person can have. So when any of us in our personal, family, professional life think of something, never, ever, ever forget that we have to measure it up against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and the example from the prophetic tradition, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in that measurement, it's like laying a transparency over something. The only way we'll know if we get it right is if we check it up against the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of these topics that I just mentioned, which is might is right, be tough, get things done. And when we measure it up against the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that this is actually not how he operated, alayhi salatu wasalam. We have a narration where he was speaking to Aisha radiallahu anha. And by the way, this is one of the beautiful examples of what a relationship can be between a husband and a wife. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was teaching his wife Aisha something that was beneficial to not only her, but to the rest of humanity. And she taught it to all of us, radiallahu anha. Where he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, he says, Ya Aisha, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ وَيُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ. Oh Aisha, Allah is the most gentle, the most compassionately caring and gentle. And He loves it. He loves gentleness. He loves it when people are gentle with each other. This alone, brothers and sisters, this statement alone is enough of a reason for us to be gentle with one another. Just the mere fact that Allah's characteristic is rafiq, that He is gentle with everything, and that He loves gentleness should be enough of a motivator for us. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to explain, وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. And this is the example that we take. That he says Allah gives people things through their gentleness that they will never ever receive through harshness. The secret key to unlocking attainment of your goal, whatever goal you have, is not unf, is not being difficult, is not being harsh, but it's being gentle. وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى مَا سِوَى. And actually he completes it by saying, and nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives except it is upon that, meaning that except it is upon gentleness. So we learn here something amazing. You know, one of the reasons why people are difficult and why we're tough with each other is because we don't think about the method or the process, we only think about the goal. I want to get something, so I will act a certain way, no matter what, so I can get that thing. You know who else has this methodology? Children, when they pout. When kids are pouting, I know all of us love pouting, all of you parents love pouting, right? When your kids have a tantrum, when they're exhibiting that behavior, they're saying, I don't really care how I get it, I just want to get it. And this is not from the methodology of Islam. The believer has a personality where they are just as concerned about how we do something and also how we get something as getting it itself. We want the pleasure of Allah. We want to follow the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we do it? We do it with things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We don't do it in ways that we imagine and we think up. We do it in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So we are as concerned of how we do things as we are about achieving the goal. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, you can be tough all you want. You can be harsh all you want. You will not achieve the goal that you want until you employ gentleness with each other. And what's interesting, by the way, is that gentleness and easygoing, being easygoing and loving, is actually very easy when times are good. You know, one time there was a story that came out in Chicago after the Bulls won their like 900th championship, mashallah, right? I'm speaking in Boston, the city of championships, but bear with me, inshallah. Where they asked, subhanAllah, one of the players said, all of us hated Michael Jordan. We hated it, right? This is like a statement of kufr in Chicago, by the way, if you say we hate Michael Jordan. So he said, we hated Michael Jordan. And the reporter said, seriously? You hated Michael Jordan? He said, yeah, we all hated him. He said, but you guys played so well together. You were so successful. And he said, when you're winning, everyone loves each other. Right? When times are good, it's easy to be nice to people. When times are bad, that's when people start to get difficult. That's when people start to get tough. So when we talk about rifq and being gentle, you know, some of us right now, we're thinking like, yeah, you know what? When I got that pay raise that day, I got home, I went home to my wife and I was really nice to her, right? Or when my kids came home with all A's on their report card, I was very gentle with them. But the reality is, the true test is, are you and I gentle when our backs are up against the wall? Are we gentle when things are going south? I want to give you a couple examples of how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gentle when times were tough. You know, subhanAllah, on the day of Uhud, the day of the battle of Uhud, where the believers were, you know, backstabbed and torn by the Khalid bin Walid, who at the time was not a Muslim, radiallahu anhu, but he was not a Muslim at the time. He was a general of the army of Quraysh. when they thought that they had won the battle, and then the Quraysh came back around from behind the mountain and attacked them. And this led to a couple things. Number one, it led to the injury of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he gave a group of archers specific directions. There was a group of archers, and if you know anything about this, you know the strategy, the goal of the archers is to protect, you know, the main cavalry from any sneak attack, because they have what? High ground. So he told these archers, you guys stay here and do not come off of this mountain. This is an explicit command. Do not come off of this mountain. He said, even if you see birds picking us like apart, our dead bodies, like you think the battle is over, khalas, don't leave your spot. So what ended up happening was during this battle, the Muslims began to actually win the battle. And there were some moments where the Quraysh tried to come from behind, the archers fired arrows, and they went back. So the plan was working. The Prophet Muhammad's strategy was working, implemented beautifully. What ended up happening when the Muslims started to win and there was noticeable advancing on the Muslim side, there started to be a lot of armor and a lot of money being left in the battlefield. Because the Muslims were winning, they were moving forward, and the archers started noticing, hey, there's a lot of wealth down there just sitting. There's a lot of armor. There's a lot of valuable things that we could be collecting. Everyone else is going to get first opportunity. You know, it's like a buffet line here in Ramadan, like when iftar is served. People run. People want to pray in the back of Maghrib so they can quickly go and eat, right? So the archers are sitting, and they're saying, look, there's money just sitting there. And their desire for that wealth overcame them, and most of them left. Some of them stayed, but most of them left. When the archers left that mountain, Khalid bin Walid saw it. And he knew that this is our chance, this is our time. So they went back around behind the mountain that the archers were on, and they snuck, and they actually got to the immediate location of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And the Quraysh, some of the soldiers, they got and they actually even struck the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. One of them took his sword, struck the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ on his head. His helmet, which had some edges right here, cut into his cheeks. It chipped some of his teeth. He was bleeding profusely. This led to the all-out chaos. Once the believers realized that they were being attacked now from two fronts, from two sides, it led to all-out chaos. You know what happened? Because the archers didn't listen. You know what happened? The uncle of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Hamza, was martyred. One of the closest companions to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Mus'ab bin Umair, was martyred. A large amount of companions were killed in this battle. This is where rifq is tested. How did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ respond to the archers? Did he tell them, all of you, this is your fault, we're going to execute you and kill you now? No, he was gentle with them. After everyone retreated and the battle was over, he didn't excommunicate them. He didn't kick them out. He didn't call them out. He didn't even gather them and say, all of this is your fault. He had rifq. He had gentleness with people. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you were harsh with them, they would turn away from you. You see, we think that being tough with people is the best way to get what we want. But actually, it's not true. Being gentle with people is the best way to get what we want, even if we are in a state of pain. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, Uhud was the most painful day of my life. He would cry when he thought of losing his uncle Hamza, but he was still gentle with people. Another example of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's gentleness when someone made a mistake was during Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, or the opening of Mecca. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was planning this journey with the believers to go to Mecca and to open the city for all of the Muslims, there was a certain Sahabi, by the name of Hatim radiallahu anh, who was actually one of the Sahaba who fought in the Battle of Badr. And if you know about the Battle of Badr, it was an extremely important battle, and every single companion from that battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them an open, a blank check. Yani, like he said that they are forgiven. Because it was such an important moment in the community of the believers. And that there was no person in that battle except that they were sincere. So this Sahabi by the name of Hatim has a family. He at the time is in Medina, his family is in Mecca. He knows that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is planning this journey to open Mecca, and he's concerned, even though he believes obviously in the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he fought in Badr, he's concerned. So he writes a letter, and he sends a letter to his family. He sends a letter to his family, trying to tell them, hey, this is the plan of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mecca is about to be opened. Be ready. He's trying to let his family know. But this is a huge risk. This is a massive risk. Because if you're letting them know, there's a chance that the rest of the Quraysh can find out and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going, they could plan a massive counterattack. So Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, he tells the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this person sent a letter to his family. They go and they retrieve it. I believe he sent Ali radiallahu anhu to go and retrieve the letter, and they bring it back and they sit with Hatim. They said, Hatim, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You're putting all the entire community at risk by doing this. So Hatim says back to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you know that I believe. I fought in Badr with you. You know that I believe, Ya Rasulullah. But I have family in Mecca and I'm worried about them. You notice the humanness of the companions, subhanAllah. Their humanity was so real. Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, Ya Rasulullah, this is treachery. He's a traitor. He could have sacrificed all of us just by this one letter for his family. We all have family there. We all have beloved people there. We're all worried about them, but we trust. Hatim is saying, I trust as well, but I was just worried. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him and let him go. This is rifq. This is gentleness. When Umar became confused and said, Ya Rasulullah, why did you let him go? He said, Ya Umar, he participated in the battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already forgave them for everything. So how can I not forgive who Allah has forgiven? SubhanAllah. This is rifq. This is gentleness. And he achieved, alayhi salam. You know, one of the reasons why so many people were attracted to him was because of this gentleness. SubhanAllah. There's even a story about his enemies, people who hated him, people who wanted to kill him. You know, we're talking so far about believers, right? We talked about the archers at Uhud. We talked about Hatim radiallahu an. But what about people who hated him, who wanted him to die? Literally, there's a narration on Aisha radiallahu anha where she said that one time there was a group of the from the tribe of Medina, of the Jewish community, small group of people, and they walked by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالُوا أَسَّامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And this is a little play on words. They were trying to be cute. So instead of saying assalamu alaikum, which is the greeting of the believers, they said assalamu alaikum, which in Arabic means like death and poison be upon you, right? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this. He said, wa alaikum. All right, whatever you wish on me, I'm going to wish it back to you. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum. Aisha, and a lot of us know this, when you love somebody and they're being insulted, you become more angry than they do sometimes, right? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, wa alaikum assalam, right? Wa la'nakum Allah wa ghadiba alaikum. May death be upon you and the curse of Allah and his anger, right? So she's getting really upset at this group because why? They insulted her husband, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to this gentleness, subhanAllah. And this is for somebody that just wished death upon you, right? He says, ma hala ya Aisha, what is this? He said, alayki bil rifq. Make sure you have some gentleness with people. Wa iyaka al-unf wal-fahsha. And be very careful to be harsh and hurtful with people and difficult with people. Qalat, she said back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awalam tasma'u ma qalu? Did you not hear what they said to you? Right? They just wished death upon you. Did you not hear it? That's why I was responding that way. Listen to his response. أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعِي مَا قُلْتُ. Did you not listen to what I just said to you? So she's saying, Ya Rasulullah, they cursed you. He's saying, it doesn't matter. This teaches us a very valuable lesson. Gentleness is not conditional. We're not only gentle with those who are gentle with us. You see, this is sometimes how we act. I'll be nice if you're nice. No, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was nice to everybody. Was gentle with everybody. And this is what attracted people. This is what attracted people. And especially, we'll conclude with his family. So we talked about believers, we talked about rejectors, people who hated him. But what about his family? What did he teach us about gentleness in the home? Because we have this disease as human beings, by the way, where we are very, very kind to strangers. We hold the door open for strangers. But when it's our own family, we're like, grab the door yourself, right? Or when it's time to eat, we're like, oh, please, by all means, we get a plate for our guest. But for our own family, we're like, get your own plate, lazy bum, right? But with family, subhanAllah, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have to have a special gentleness with them. He said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا. If Allah desires goodness for a family, he said, عَلَيْهِمْ بِالرِّفْقِ. He gives them gentleness with each other. How many relationships, brothers and sisters, think for a moment as we conclude. How many relationships in our homes are suffering because we're difficult with one another? How many marriages, how many fights, how many arguments, how many grudges are built because there is a lack of gentleness with each other? You want to accomplish something in your home? You want your kids to do something? You want your spouse to do something? You want your parents? You want anything to happen inside of your home? I challenge you. The next time you feel the nefsical desire to be tough and to say it's my way or the highway, I'm the authority in this house, challenge your nefs and be easy with people and see, wallahi, how it gets done. I get on a constant basis teenagers coming to me saying that when their family comes home, when their dad comes home or their mom comes home, it's like they sound the alarm. So they'll be sitting, enjoying themselves, having a nice time. As soon as they hear Baba's car is pulling to the garage, Dad's car is pulling to the garage, they ring the bell. Everybody, quick, don't have any fun. Quick, run away. Dad's home. We have to make sure we're all doing homework. I had one person tell me that when my mom comes home, my heart rate goes up because I'm so scared of the difficulty that's going to happen between us. This is not a way to live. This is not a place where the home should be a place of sakina. That's why in the Arabic language, the words sakina and maskana, home and tranquility, share a root word. Because the home should be tranquil. The way that we make our homes tranquil is we have rifq. And that's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants khair for our homes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who are gentle with each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this prophetic characteristic of gentleness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it that whenever we try to achieve anything, whenever we want to achieve anything, we think first of how gentleness will be the factor in achieving it and not harshness. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم آمين. I just wanted to conclude today's khutbah with a moment of rifq and a moment of thinking about our brother Ja'far. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with him and give him, inshallah, a shifa kamil, inshallah, a complete cure. As you may or may not have known, Brother Ja'far is the security guard who protects, mashallah, here. And more than he protects, he smiles. If you've ever seen him when you walk into the masjid, he greets with a smile. He greets with a big mashallah salam. And he suffered a very serious, I believe it was a heart attack. He suffered a very serious heart attack the other day, an aortic aneurysm, subhanAllah. And I believe he was rushed to the hospital and he underwent a few procedures. And he's in a scenario right now where he's recovering, but we still pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa, inshallah, because these situations, as many of you probably know, can be very delicate. And so please, inshallah, if you have the time to send him a message or to visit him, that would be the best. But if you, you know, can't find the time right now before you see him, then the least we can do is we make dua for him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him shifa. And all of the believers who are ill, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them shifa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon them and their families. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to uplift and relieve them from their financial burden, as we know that for a lot of families in this country, even healthcare, which should not be a financial burden for people, is a financial burden. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. Inna Allah ya'mur bil adli wal ihsan. وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة.